Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone. Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
And good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you here on a Wednesday where a lot to talk about today, a lot to get to. Let's start with the biggest news, and that is that the Kansas City Chiefs have three members of their roster that will represent the AFC in the 2011 Pro Bowl. Congratulations to those three, Dwayne Bowe, wide receiver, Jamaal Charles, running back, and Brian Waters, offensive guard for the Kansas City Chiefs, will all represent the Chiefs at the Pro Bowl. This is the first Pro Bowl for Dwayne Bowe and the first Pro Bowl for Jamaal Charles. Number five for Brian Waters as the veteran. Coming off winning Man of the Year last year, goes back to the Pro Bowl. Brian Waters having made it to the Pro Bowl in, 04, 05, 06, and 2008. So Brian Waters representing the offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs, an offensive line that gave up only 25 sacks and obviously had the best rushing attack in the NFL. Kind of maybe amazing that only one player on the Chiefs offensive line makes it, again, leading the NFL in rushing by 15 yards per game over second place and allowing what right now is only 25 sacks. That's fifth best in the NFL. You might think an extra offensive lineman would be in there. You might think Matt Cassel, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, would be in there. He will watch Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, and then the starter, Tom Brady, go if any of those three should be out because of playing in the Super Bowl or injury. I think Matt Cassel is probably going to be the next quarterback in line. So stay tuned. The Chiefs have three that are in here on the initial balloting for the Pro Bowl, but might have some extra players added as things continue. Tamba Haley, Derek Johnson, Brandon Flowers, Ryan Lilje, Casey Wiegman, all names of players that people are talking about as guys that could have been selected to the Pro Bowl but weren't. But congratulations to Dwayne Bowe, Jamaal Charles, Brian Waters. All right, on the field, rejoice, Chiefs fans. Your Chiefs are again sitting atop the division. First time since 2003. They're going back to the playoffs. First time since 2006. It'll be the first home playoff game since they won that division title in 03. Looking for their first playoff win for the first time since the 1993 season, a win that took place in a stadium that doesn't even host NFL football anymore. It took place in the Houston Astrodome. Chiefs over the Oilers advanced to the AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills, where they would fall. Joe Montana was quarterbacking the Chiefs. Been a long time since the Chiefs had tasted victory in the postseason. We'll see if it's going to happen here in Kansas City come, 2 weeks, roughly about a week and a half from now. We don't know if it'll be a Saturday or Sunday game. You can get your tickets for that playoff game and the Raider game at kcchiefs.com right here on the website. Just click on the icon that says tickets. Coming up a little bit later on today, Jovan Belcher, Chiefs linebacker, will join us a little bit later on here in the Red Zone. Also going to talk to Roxy Bernstein. He'll give us the breakdown on the Oakland Raiders who are coming to town. And I'm going to tell you, I think this Raider game is important. I think it's important to go out and win. And I think it's important for the seeding to do that. I'm not a fan of sitting guys. I've seen too many teams that sit players down the stretch and then have a hard time trying to jumpstart things and get things going. We watched the New York Giants a couple of years ago, 2007, had to fight all the way to the last week to get into the playoffs. Then they won three straight games, three straight road games, and went on to win the Super Bowl. We've seen the Steelers win the Super Bowl, having to play three games. I think bye weeks can sometimes derail a team's momentum. Now, if you're hurting, banged up, you'll certainly take the time to get healthy, and that's one of the things that Todd Haley is going to have to balance here in the game against the Raiders, trying to win it, and I'll explain to you why I think it's important to win it, trying to win it in addition to trying to keep his team healthy. You certainly don't want to risk anyone. The Chiefs are going to the playoffs. The question is, will they be the 3 or the 4 seed? With a win, they're the 3 seed. The Colts or the Jaguars would be the 4th seed. With a loss and a Colts victory, the Chiefs would fall to the 4 seed. Now, what does that matter? Well, it matters as to who the opponent is. As the 4 seed, you play the 5. As the 3, you play the 6. Right now, the way that shapes up, the Chiefs would play the New York Jets, a team that is struggling. They've lost 3 of their last 4 football games, a team that, to me, is probably the one that's maybe battling its own self more than anyone else. And it's also the one that I would say has the biggest question mark at quarterback in Mark Sanchez, something that is huge when you get to the playoffs. Pats and Steelers. Pats will have a bye week. Steelers right now are in position to have a bye week. If they lose at Cleveland and Baltimore wins against Cincinnati, Baltimore would move up into that 2 seed. Pittsburgh would fall down into the 5 seed. The Jets with the Pittsburgh Steelers would actually move up with a win, would move in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers because of a head-to-head win that they've got. So they would have a chance to move in front of Pittsburgh and be the 5 or the 6. Assuming that Pittsburgh wins at Cleveland, you're going to get New England as the 1, Pittsburgh is the 2. Chiefs win, they go in as the 3, Indianapolis the 4. Baltimore's the 5, they would go to Indianapolis. The Jets are the 6. They would come here to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the Chiefs. And as I said, the team that I think has had the most struggles here of late of the possible Chiefs first-round opponents. Also with the 3 seed, that gives them a chance to be the AFC Championship game host if they can get themselves there and somebody were to knock off the 1 seed, the New England Patriots. Doesn't happen a lot, but it has happened before. That is an important part of the equation. We'll see what the Chiefs can do. The Raider game, though, is important. If they can play like they did against the Tennessee Titans, they should be in good shape. We know that one of the things they're going to have to do is stop Darren McFadden. Well, they were extremely effective. If there's a storyline to the Tennessee Titan game that stands out more than any, it's the fact that they shut down Chris Johnson, that they were able to take him out of the game, just a giant accomplishment, as he has been the best back in the NFL over the course of the last 2 years. Chris Johnson, just 14 carries for 58 yards. They tried to get him going early, couldn't get him going early. And to me, the biggest story of the day is the defensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. They came to play. Glenn Dorsey had a big game, not only getting a sack, but also in stuffing the run. Ron Edwards, Sean Smith, and Tyson Jackson making his presence felt, statistically speaking, not picking up a lot of stats, but really sucking up blockers and creating some problem, knocking that running back back, knocking the running back to the outside as he contained or handled his blocker, which enabled the linebackers to run freely to the football. Just a great defensive day overall for the Kansas City Chiefs as they harassed Kerry Collins, really took Chris Johnson completely out of the football game, and I think it all started with that defensive line. Maybe the best day all year for that defensive line, maybe the best day in 2 years for the defensive line, maybe the best day in 3 or 4 or 5. But that defensive line looked legit, very legit, on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. To me, the biggest story in the game was the performance of the defensive line. They also got after the quarterback, 3 sacks. Tom Bahali, Glenn Dorsey, and Andy Studebaker all picking up a sack. 2 of the 3 sacks coming, from the linebackers. And Hali and Studebaker, guys that you want to get after the quarterback. 1 coming from Glenn Dorsey. And I think that's important. That it shows you that overall they're getting pressure into the backfield. It's the linebackers that are designed to pick up the sacks in this defense. But the defensive line, if they're pressuring, if they're getting a good push, they'll get that secondary sack where a Tom Bahali forces the quarterback to step up and he steps right into a Glenn Dorsey or right into a Wallace Gilberry, as Wallace Gilberry has done an outstanding job for the Chiefs this year in picking up those kind of sacks. But the defensive line as a whole, I think without a doubt, their finest game this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Defensive line just both against the run and the pass did a great job. Eric Berry, a pick 6 for the Chiefs, really sealing this game before the half with that interception. 54-yard interception return, 3rd interception return for a touchdown this year by the Kansas City Chiefs. Brandon Flowers and Derek Johnson also having interception returns for touchdowns this season. Eric Berry, a big one, 54 yards, and showing the big play ability, looking a little Ed Reed-ish, and that's the name. I know a lot of you folks listening here in the Red Zone were really after Eric Berry, wanted him to be the guy for the Kansas City Chiefs, were thrilled when they got him at that 5th pick in this year's draft, and the name people like to compare him to was Ed Reed. Well, when he got the ball in his hands, he looked like Ed Reed on the return game. Great cutback and moves, taking it all the way for the big play. Huge play by Eric Berry. That's why they drafted Eric Berry, was to go out and make plays. He made the play that really salted away the game with his interception return for a touchdown. Just a big day overall for Eric Berry, and it's been a very good rookie season. Struggled early, beat a couple of times early for big touchdowns, but has really come on strong and been the player that the Chiefs wanted him to be here late in the year. Matt Cassel, what can you say? Another outstanding performance, a quarterback rating of 129, 24 of 34 for 314, 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. Now 27 touchdowns and 5 INTs on the year. Just a phenomenal season for Matt Cassel. In this game, probably his best game of the year as he continues to make plays. How about the touchdown pass to Dwayne Bowe? A 75-yarder on 3rd and 19. Tip of the cap to both Dwayne Bowe and Matt Cassel. You know, everybody says, well, why do you throw the ball short of the chains? They threw it about 2 yards short, but when you got a 225-pound wide receiver that can run, you give him a chance to make a play. That's what Matt Cassel did. Throws a strike about 17 yards down the field, and Dwayne Bowe turns it upfield and goes for the touchdown. Big day for Matt Cassel. Two other great touch passes to Jamal Charles, and Jamal Charles picking up two touchdown catches. Just a great day all around for Matt Cassel, as he did not put the football in harm's way and made three big plays, three touchdowns for Matt Cassel. A big day, 314 yards, now over 3,000 on the season. Just an MVP conversation. I'm not going to call him an MVP season. He's not going to win it, but he belongs in that conversation, and he probably is the MVP of this football team, as Matt Cassel has another fine day. 6 for 153 overall for Dwayne Bowe and a touchdown. He's over 1,000 yards now. Just a great bounce-back game for Debo after three straight games where he really hadn't played well. After six or seven marvelous games, he had about three straight where he just wasn't a factor. He was a huge factor for the Kansas City Chiefs, the 75-yard touchdown, part of his 153 yards receiving. Dwayne Bowe now leading the NFL by three, the touchdown reception category. He's got 15 on the year. Jamal Charles, not a huge rushing day, 13 for 77, four more catches for 40 yards. We mentioned two of those going for touchdowns, but Jamal Charles certainly a weapon. And Thomas Jones, you don't see big numbers next to the yardage, but 39 minutes time of possession, 39 minutes and 4 seconds. I will point out that the Chiefs put the football on the ground twice in this game, losing one of them, and also threw an interception when Brody Croyle came into the game. Two turnovers is bad news, but the defense bailing them out by taking it away twice. Two interceptions in this game were giant for the defense. Could have been a different game if they're not forcing the turnovers. Brandon Carr getting an interception, of course, on a long ball, and Eric Berry the pick six. Big for the Chiefs, so they're even in the turnover category. Not their best day offensively, as they have an interception on Brody Croyle throwing the ball behind his receiver. Ball gets tipped up in the air for an INT, and Thomas Jones putting it on the ground twice, lost his first fumble in eons. Not a great day from that standpoint, but making up for it by getting two turnovers on the defense and holding the time of possession for 39 minutes. That was giant. And while they didn't score a lot of points in the second half, they had a huge lead, 31-7. They don't need to be aggressive, and they added to that lead. I think it's important to note that they got the first points of the second half, a field goal by Ryan Succop to make it 34-7. And then while they didn't put more points on the board, they did take the air out of the ball and take away Tennessee's chances by holding the football. 39 minutes in this game, just an excellent all-around team win. Later in the day, the Chiefs would be anointed AFC West champions as the Chargers fall to the Cincinnati Bengals. Congratulations to Todd Haley, Scott Pioli, the whole organization, and of course, all the guys on the field that made it happen. A great day in Kansas City on Sunday. We'll see if they can make it even better by getting revenge against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday. We'll talk to Jovan Belcher about that a little bit later on. Next, we'll talk to Roxy Bernstein. He joins us to break down the Raiders here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hi, we're Giacomo and Angelo, and we make Palermo's Pizza.
We actually grew up in a pizzeria where we learned to toss pizza dough by hand.
So you can believe our new hand-tossed-style frozen pizzas offer taste your family will love, guaranteed.
Yep, our pizza's 200% authentic, like us.
200%?
Yeah, 100% times two of us.
Well, obviously, Papa didn't teach you math. Anyway, look for our new hand-tossed-style pizzas and try one.
Palermo's, it's pizzeria perfect.
And the official frozen pizza of the Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game!
And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the red zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com on a Wednesday as we get you ready now to look ahead to the game with the Oakland Raiders as they come to town. Final game of the year. Chiefs into the playoffs. This can affect their seeding. A loss by the Chiefs and a win by the Colts will knock them from the 3 seed to the 4 seed. So as we've talked about, an important game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it an important game for the Oakland Raiders? We talked to Roxy Bernstein from Extra Sports 860 in the Bay Area. Roxy, how are you, sir?
Hey, Soren. What's doing?
Playoff football here in Kansas City, something we haven't had since the 06 season, and a home playoff game in a week and a half, something we haven't had since the 03 season. The Raiders eliminated again, although a much better showing this year than they've had for a number of years. Are the Raiders still mentally into it now that they've been eliminated from the playoff push? Will they come with everything they've got, or are we going to see a team that's already planning on getting on the beach and taking a vacation?
I think you're going to get a motivated team, Soren. There's a couple things at stake for this team, for the Raiders. And granted, the playoffs are not a possibility anymore. But one thing I have to admire about this team is they've always gone out there, given it a full effort, played hard for Tom Cable. They have a chance to make their record perfect against the AFC West this year. They've swept every team thus far except for Kansas City. So that's something they're playing for when they take on the Chiefs. As well as finishing 8-8. People, oh, that's not a big deal. I think it is a big deal for the Raiders, considering how bad they have been for so long. Look, they've already taken care of. They will not have double-digit losses. Now they have a shot to finish at 500. And this team appears to be turning the corner and headed in the right direction.
What is the status of Tom Cable? And you know, are the players aware of what his status is moving forward?
Nobody really has any clue, just because, as we know, Soren, it's Al Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what Al's going to do. I wouldn't say I'd be shocked because it's Al Davis again in the Raiders, but I would be surprised if Cable is not back as the Raider head coach, considering he has gotten this team better. They're buying into what he is selling. They're playing hard. And they seem to have turned the corner. And Cable has to get some credit. Now, certainly, you know, Darren McFadden's had a spectacular year. The defense appears to be better. Maybe they found their quarterback in Jason Campbell after the whole Jamarcus Russell fiasco. And certainly Hugh Jackson, the offensive coordinator, has gotten plenty of accolades considering they've gone from 31st in the NFL in scoring from a year ago all the way to the top 10. So there's a number of things at work, but I would be surprised if Tom Cable is not the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, assuming we have a season next year.
All right, how about the quarterback of the Oakland Raiders? They seem to find some stability with Jason Campbell, or did they? Is that just an outsider looking at the situation?
Well, I think you're right. And going into next year, it has to be his job to lose because of the way he's performed and the way this offense has played in recent weeks. And he's had a very, I think, solid season after a shaky start. considering at the beginning of the year, he plays the first six quarters, they bench him for Gronkowski, he comes back, Gronkowski comes back in, and then Campbell, down the stretch, he played pretty well. So, for me, going forward, again, in the same boat as Campbell, I'd be surprised if he was not the starter going into camp with his job to lose. What the Raiders had invested in him for me when they picked him up from Washington.
He loves names, he being Al Davis. A lot of people speculating about Donovan McNabb being out there. They supposedly had interest in him. Is that a topic of conversation already around the Raiders team as to who he'll be going out trying to impress this offseason?
Well, it's always going to be speculation because it's Al Davis. And okay, if there were rumors earlier in the year that were linking the Raiders to Carson Palmer, if Palmer becomes available from Cincinnati. So it wouldn't be the Raiders if there weren't fodder and rumors out there. Now, I think the Raiders have more pressing issues than going to get a quarterback. Jason Campbell is a solid quarterback, and I don't think the Raiders need to worry about that position as much as some other areas. Offensive line, I think they need to upgrade receivers. There's some defensive issues I think they need to work through. But the bottom line is the Raiders have other more pressing issues than quarterback, and the quarterback certainly has been solid, not spectacular, but a solid position this year for the Raiders.
All right, one position they definitely don't need help at is running back. Darren McFadden finally living up to the accolades that he had coming out of Arkansas. What turned the corner for him?
I think confidence is a big thing, and plus he's been relatively healthy this year, which is something that hasn't happened in the past. The Raiders have used him right, and maybe he's figuring it out, Soren, also, that, look, in college I was so good, I was so athletic that I could just make plays, and I didn't have to really give 100% in every play. Now I think he's realized how hard you need to play in the NFL, and that goes into it as well. And Hugh Jackson's utilizing him in the right way, getting him in space, giving him opportunities, not only carrying the football, but dumping it off in screen passes, involving him in the passing game. And a nice 1-2 punch with Michael Bush that the Raiders have really had an effective run game this year. The offensive line is an area I think that can still improve. I think it was a decent performing unit so far for the Raiders this year. But they certainly deserve a lot of credit for the success that McFadden has had.
The offense, as far as the receivers go, the offensive line, you don't run the football unless you can really knock some people off the ball, and that's one of the things the Raiders have tried to build. They feel like they finally got the offensive line where they want it to be?
It's getting there. I don't think it's where they want it to be, but it's certainly taking on the personality of their coach. Look, Cable's an offensive line coach, and he had some success in the NFL coaching the O-line. Well, that's going to spill over into how he coaches an entire team because that's what he knows best. And Jim Mihalchik has come in, done a decent job with the offensive line, but there's still some pieces they can build and make that unit better. Robert Gallery's had a nice season, but there's still some other parts of the offensive line where they could make some adjustments and really improve going forward.
All right, what happened? We're talking to Roxy Bernstein about the Oakland Raiders. Joins us from Extra Sports 860 in the Bay Area. What happened to them defensively? Not that they're a bad defense. They're a very good pass secondary, pass defense. They get pressure on the quarterback. They can cover people. They were a pretty good run defense when these two teams met, at least for the Chiefs, 34 carries for 104 yards. One of the worst days for the Chiefs running the football. In fact, it might be the worst if I looked it up. What happened that they then take on a Colts team that's one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL and give up 191 yards last week on the ground?
I think they wore down a little bit as the season went along. And I don't necessarily think their defensive game plan was as good as it should have been for this game. I think they were so concerned with trying to slow down Manning in the passing game that they forgot to take care of what they do best, and that is cover the run game with their front seven. Now, the Raiders have battled some injuries defensively. Nnamdi Asamoah has been in and out of the lineup at corner this year. And in addition to being as good a cover corner as there is in the NFL, he plays the run game very well. He's a physical corner. But I think they took away from their preparation on the running game, just taking it as a given they're going to be able to slow him down and really try to limit Manning, where instead of maybe they should have just concentrated on the run game. And look, if Manning's going to beat us, he's going to beat us. But let's stop what we can control. And the Raiders didn't do that against the Colts.
And part of it also is that they just teams don't want to face that pass secondary. You mentioned it when Asamoah's in there. It might be the best. There's a lot of athletes back there. And while they don't have somebody up in the league leaders among sacks, they got a lot of guys who pressure the quarterback. They've sacked the quarterback 40 times this year. That's already a pretty good total on the year. And, you know, I would say, you know, looking at the numbers and looking at how I remember this team playing against the Chiefs, the key is lead the Raiders. Force them to play catch-up football. Force them to put it all on their quarterback and not lean on their running game with Darren McFadden. Give yourself the ability to run the football so you don't have to drop back and play catch-up. If you can play from in front, that really ruins the Raiders' day. Would you agree?
Yeah, it does, because it does handcuff them what they want to do, especially offensively, like you were talking about, sir, and they want to establish the run game and see if they do the opposition. Yeah, make Jason Campbell or Gretkowski, who's ever the quarterback, beat you. But with the Raiders, it's not just one pass rusher. There's a number of guys, and they come at you from different directions, whether it's Richard Seymour, Lamar Houston, the rookie out of Texas, has had a nice season up front. Cameron Wimbley, from time to time, has really been an aggressive pass rusher. So there's a number of guys that the Raiders can bring at you, and when they can pin their ears back and let loose, yeah, it makes them a better team because of that strong secondary that you alluded to. But that's the key with the Raiders, is if they're in a tight game like the Chiefs and Raiders were the first time, that's what the Raiders want to be in. They even have trouble playing when they're out in front of teams, but when they can dominate the line of scrimmage, when they can run the football, it makes this football team as a whole that much better.
All right, Roxy, before I let you go, give me your prediction on the game. How do you think this thing plays out?
Well, for me, Seren, as you talked about it earlier, it's how much Kansas City wants this game also. Do they want to get rest up for the playoffs because they're not going to have the bye week? So they're going to treat this as a bye week, even though they still, you know, have to play and go through it against the Raider team. It's going to be a tight game. I'll give the edge to Kansas City because the Chiefs are at home, and they are playing for something. The Raiders are also. But if Kansas City wants this game more than the Raiders do, they'll win it. So I think KC wins it by a field goal.
KC by a field goal. Roxy, always appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you on down the road.
You got it, Seren. Anytime, buddy.
The Red Zone with Seren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
The NFL season is here.
Carroll's on his feet. Left side angle. Cutback.
And your Kansas City Chiefs are back.
Touchdown, Jamal Charles.
Cheer on the Chiefs all season long at the new Arrowhead Stadium. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at kcchiefs.com, the Arrowhead Stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. Head coach Todd Haley and your Kansas City Chiefs are determined and ready for battle, taking it game by game. And you won't want to miss any of the action live. Get your single game tickets now to see the Chiefs take on the Jaguars, Bills, Cardinals, Titans, or AFC West rivals the Broncos and Raiders. Great seats are available now at kcchiefs.com, the Arrowhead Stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. Come and get loud and cheer your Chiefs on to victory at the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. Our thanks to Roxy Bernstein for joining us, our Bay Area correspondent, giving us the breakdown on the Oakland Raiders. Very important game with the Raiders for seeding. We touched on this earlier. I'll touch on it again. I think it's important for the Chiefs to win this game and be the 3 seed as opposed to the 4 seed. You can make a difference. Get your tickets for the Raider game and then get your tickets for the playoff game as well. It's available here at kcchiefs.com. Just look at the icon that says tickets right there on the screen. Click on it, and you'll be on your way to buying playoff tickets. Playoff tickets down under $40. Get them while you can. Plus tickets available for the Raider game. You can make a difference. How big a difference? Well, let's take a look at the home and road splits of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not going to quite call it night and day. The Chiefs still do come to play on the road, but they're significantly better at home. They're one of only two teams, and they both are going to be playoff teams, the New England Patriots and the Chiefs, only two teams in the NFL to be undefeated at home. Think about that. One of only two teams in Chiefs history to be undefeated at home. Chiefs at home, let's look at the difference. Chiefs at home, 7-0, on the road, 3-5. They've got a chance to close out the fifth season in Chiefs history undefeated at home with a win against the Raiders. How do the numbers stack up? The Chiefs score 26 points per game at home versus 21.8 to be precise on the road. So they're scoring 4 points more per game at home than they are on the road. But defense is where it really shows up. On the road, the Chiefs give up 26 points per game. At home, 12.4. 12.4, that's 13.6 points per game better. Two touchdowns better. The defense is at home than on the road. You think it doesn't matter if you're sitting in the stands? You think that Arrowhead noise doesn't matter? The home cooking, it's a huge asset for this football team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. 13.6 points per game better at home than on the road. We'll call it two touchdowns. You make a two-touchdown difference to the defense playing at home, and the offense gets 4 points better as well. Yardage-wise, 380 yards of offense per game at home, 341 on the road, so 39 yards per game better. Defensively, they give up 310 at home, 347 on the road, so 37 yards better. Same as far as the turnover margin goes. They're plus +5 both at home and on the road. They've actually taken it away more at home. You'd anticipate that, but actually turned it over more at home. That is a little bit surprising. But overall, the biggest statistic, two touchdowns better. The defense is two touchdowns better at home than on the road. Vital that the Chiefs get that home playoff game. They win the AFC West, and by being the 3 seed, you get that much, you know, and it's still the slim one, but you get a better chance of actually hosting an AFC championship game should you get that far. If the Chiefs can win their opener, they would then go on the road. Theoretically, the way it stands right now, they would go to Pittsburgh as the 3 seed. If they can win that game, they would either go to New England or they would host the AFC championship game. If somebody knocks off New England, they would then become the highest seed left. Again, they've taken out the 2 Pittsburgh. Somebody else would have taken out the 1 New England, so they would host the AFC championship game. It has happened. Most recently in a conference championship game, it was when the Arizona Cardinals went to the Super Bowl just 2 years ago. They got there via that route. They hosted a home playoff game, and then you'll remember, went down to Carolina. The Philadelphia Eagles came through as a wild card. That sent the conference championship game back to Arizona, and they won that football game in come-from-behind fashion to get to the Super Bowl. So it does happen. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. The Arizona Cardinals, the most recent example of that. Some more of the numbers. Let's look at some of the player numbers. We'll get back to the team numbers in a minute. Jamaal Charles, 1,380 rushing yards on the season. That's the 7th highest total in team history. If he goes for 101, he'll tie Christian Okoye for 5th place. So if he can top 100 yards against the Oakland Raiders, he'll move into 5th place with this season, 1380 so far on the year. He's done it on 216 carries, which means he's averaging, I'm going to go 3 decimal points over. You'll understand why in a second. He's averaging 6.388 yards per carry. Now, that's one of, in fact, that is the 2nd best yards per carry in the history of the NFL for one season. Best, the 1963 season by Jim Brown. He had 291 carries for 1863. The important statistic, 6.402 yards per carry. If you wanted to get the guy a record, send him out there. If he can carry it once for 10 yards, he would become the all-time record holder for yards per carry in a season. But that's the number that he's shooting for, 6.402 by Jim Brown. He currently sits at 6.388. Don't kid yourself. The Raiders will be well aware of that and looking to keep that record away from Jamaal Charles. Whether he gets there or not, it's one of the most phenomenal seasons a running back's ever had in the yards per carry. Charles and Jones have combined for 2,250 yards. That's the best tandem rushing total in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. It tops the record from 2005. Larry Johnson and Priest Holmes combined for 2,201. Again, 2,259 and counting. So they're going to push that number even higher come this week. Dwayne Bowe making his presence felt in the record book. Debo now has a career-high 1,094 yards receiving on the season. It's the second 1,000-yard season of his career. He is the fifth player in Chiefs history to have multiple 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Tony Gonzalez has four, Carlos Carson with three. Those are the top marks that he would be shooting for in years to come. It's also the ninth highest total in team history with 1,094 yards, so he's got a chance to push that number up. 15 TD catches this year for Dwayne Bowe. That leads the NFL. Of course, the 75-yarder against the Titans that leads the NFL. Second on the list, Greg Jennings and Calvin Johnson. Neither one of them picked up a touchdown last week. They're both at 12. So Dwayne Bowe looking pretty good to win that title this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. The quarterback, Matt Cassel, has now thrown 199 consecutive second-half passes without an interception. I wasn't even aware they kept this statistic until this past week, and maybe the NFL doesn't, but Stats Inc. does. 199 consecutive passes in the second half without an interception for Matt Cassel. That's best in the NFL. Second on the list is Tom Brady with 154. I don't care what the stat is. If you can top Tom Brady this year, you've accomplished something. And Matt Cassel, right there with Tom Brady in a number of categories, and I think maybe the two most important, he's second in the NFL in TD percentage and interception percentage. In other words, when he drops back to pass, he's got the second highest touchdown percentage in the league. No, he doesn't throw it as many times as some other quarterbacks, so he doesn't have as many touchdowns, but his 27 touchdowns represent 6.5% of the times he has dropped back to pass. That's second only to Tom Brady. His interception totals, with just five interceptions, represents 1.2% of the time he actually throws an interception. That is second best to Tom Brady. Not bad company that Matt Cassel's keeping in those two categories. Second best in the NFL in TD percentage and interception percentage. Chiefs record book, 27 touchdown passes, now ties him for the third best total in Chiefs history. He matches Trent Green's 2004 total of 27. In front of him, Lenny the Cool, 1962, had 29, and Len Dawson, 64. 1964, he had 30 touchdown passes. So the only guy in front of him is Len Dawson with two different seasons. We'll see if he can throw a couple or three. If he threw four, he'd set a new Chiefs record. But amazing. I think one of the more amazing numbers that the Chiefs have had one quarterback in their franchise history and just one season where a quarterback has thrown for 30 touchdowns. Lenny the Cool in 64. We'll see against the Raiders if Matt Cassel can join him. Right now he's tied with Trent Green, third on that list, and is plus 22 in the TD to interception ratio, which 27-5, his number. That can change, obviously, with this final game. Right now, that's the best in Chiefs history. Second is Steve DeBerg's 1990 year, where he was 23-4. Third, Lenny the Cool, 26-10 in 1966. Casey Wiegman has now taken 10,069 consecutive snaps at center. That's a stat that goes back to September 23rd of 2001. You'll remember that was his first year as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He actually missed his first game as a Chief with an appendectomy. Same thing that Matt Cassel missed a game for this year. After that, he played and has played every single snap since then. That is 10 seasons that he has missed, or at least 10 seasons minus one game that he has not missed a snap. That is unbelievable. Chiefs all-time sack list, Tom Bahaly climbing up, but he had another sack. He's now got 12 on the year. He's at 39 for his career. If he can get one sack against the Raiders, he'll move into a three-way tie for six. Mike Bell and Bill Moss have 40 in their career. Going up If you want to see what Tamba Hali can do in the next year or two, Art Still, 42.5. Jared Allen, 43.5. Eric Hicks, 44.5. All those guys would seem to be falling to Tamba Hali next year. He can move into third place in the Chiefs' all-time sack list. Then he's got some work to do. Neil Smith is second at 85.5. Derek Thomas has the Chiefs' record at 126.5. 126.5 sacks, a long way to go. The Chiefs are the only team that have held their home opponents to 20 points or less in all of their home games. Only team to do that. This does mark the biggest turnaround in wins if they can hold on. If they get a win, it'll go up by even one more, or they're going to get a loss and it'll tie the record. The record for biggest turnaround in a season is 5. It was done twice from 61 to 62. The Chiefs improved from 6-8 to 11-5. So there was a 5-game improvement. Or I guess that would have been 11-3. I'm looking at the Chiefs numbers, but they're listing it 11-5. It's actually 11-3. Would have been the improvement, a 5-game improvement. They were still playing the 14-game schedules back then. In 03, Dick Vermeil's team that won the division went from 8-8 in 02 to 13-3. Chiefs right now, 4-12 to 10-5. That's a 6-game improvement. It's either going to go to 7 with an 11-5 season, or it's going to fall back into a tie with a 10-6 season, depending upon what happens with the Raiders. So something to keep your eye on there. Chiefs undefeated at home. If they can pull it off, if they can beat the Raiders, it would be the 5th time in Chiefs history. That's the good news. Chiefs did it in 71, 95, 97, and 2003. The bad news is all 4 previous years, I don't know, maybe there's a reason to let the Raider game go. All 4 of those years that they were undefeated at home, they lost in the first round of the playoffs at home. 71, they lost to the Dolphins in that Christmas Day game, longest game ever played in NFL history. In 95, they lost to the Colts in a brutally cold game when Lynn Elliott was missing field goals. 97, Elvis Gerbach and the Chiefs could not hold off John Elway and the Broncos as the Denver Broncos would knock them off at Arrowhead. And in 2003, the Chiefs defense led by Greg Robinson could not force the Colts to punt and did not win. So all 4 times that they have been undefeated at home, they have lost their opening game at home in Arrowhead in the playoffs. So we'll see if that ends up being the same situation here this year. Raiders are out in front. A lot of those numbers are depending upon the Raiders. We'll see where they all stack up after that game against the Oakland Raiders. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. Chiefs linebacker Jovan Belcher joins us next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game!
And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the 3 most important words ever.
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
And good afternoon. Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you. Time now to talk with one of the men responsible for the big 34-14 win over the Tennessee Titans. Jovan Belcher joins us right now here in the Red Zone. Jovan, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. AFC West champions. How does that feel?
It feels real good. You know, that's a goal that we set out to accomplish in the beginning of the season. So to accomplish a goal, it's always moving in the right direction, you know.
Is it difficult now? I mean, I know you've got another game to turn around and play here against the Oakland Raiders before the playoffs. But is it difficult to think back before, you know, the season began and all the hard work that went into it? Does it seem like it's been a long time coming? A lot of work getting to this point, or no? Does it seem like it's been a fast journey?
The season usually always goes fast, but it's been a journey. It's been a hard, rough journey, a rough road, a lot of hard work. These guys every day put blood, sweat, and tears into their work ethic, you know. So, I mean, it's rough. It's a rough road still.
Was there ever a time during the season that maybe in your head you doubted a little bit that it wasn't going to happen? I'm going to tell you that a lot of the fans thought when the Chargers got within a game that it was their division, that they were going to run you guys down and that it was going to be a great season but come up short of being in the playoffs. Was there ever a time in your head that you thought it was in doubt, you guys winning the AFC West?
No, it wasn't. We come out every week, focus on our new opponent. Something happens bad that week, next week we come out. And so into the new opponent, you know, we have a great coaching staff and we have a lot of high character players, which I guess I said they won't let that happen, you know. They won't allow any of the teammates to think like that. So
we're talking to Jovan Belcher, Chiefs linebacker here in the Red Zone. Let's talk specifically about the game against the Tennessee Titans. First of all, priority one, it would seem as an outsider, would have been to stop Chris Johnson. You guys did about as good a job as anybody's done over the last couple of years. Was that priority one in beating the Titans?
Yes. That's. I think from a defensive standpoint, you always want to stop the run, you know, because if a team could run on you, they could basically dictate the game. So that was one of our goals, one of our priorities, to stop the run, stop Chris Johnson.
One of only a handful of 2,000-yard backs. He accomplished that feat last year. Has got a chance to win the rushing title this year. Had a lot better chance before he ran into you guys. But still has a chance if he can have a big final week of the season. What challenges does he present that other running backs don't? What makes him so special as a back? And why were you guys so effective at shutting him down?
I mean, he's a great back. He's a very explosive back. And I think he has, I'd say, deceptive speed. You know, he has that type of speed where he could turn it on when he wants to, you know.
Do you?
You really got to take good angles to, I guess, cut him off. I'll give it to our D-line. Our D-line did a great job, you know, staying in the hole that they had to stay in and just getting penetration. I don't take anything away from Chris Josh. He's a great running back, you know.
You mentioned your D-line, and that is where, you know, as I sat watching the game, where it looked like you guys had a huge advantage. I mean, the Titans, obviously, Chris Johnson's obviously a great back, but that offensive line has clearly done some good work for him to put up the numbers he's put up. And your D-line seemed to be able to dominate their offensive line. And was that the key overall, was the fact that your defensive line was really in the backfield all day?
Yes. Coming into this game, we kind of put this on our front seven, you know, to stop the run. That's what we prided ourselves on. We had to do a lot better job than we've been doing. And, I mean, like I said, our D-line played a great game. They kept the offensive linemen off of the linebackers, which allowed us to run and make plays. So, like I said, I give all the credit to our D-line. They did a great job.
How much have you been able to notice your defensive line getting better as the season goes along? It appears that that's the case. Is that the way it looks from your vantage point playing behind him?
Yes. And you go in every game, you come out, we watch film, win or lose, and, you know, you get to correct your mistakes. So it's a good thing when you can see yourself on film, and you know you can go back the next week and correct it and get better at it.
How much has Tyson Jackson, you know, he was out for a number of games early on. How much has getting him, getting his presence, and I know he's just one of, and everybody in the NFL, Chiefs included, rotates through a number of guys, but getting that extra big body in there and allowing a guy like Sean Smith to stay fresh and, you know, Edwards, and I noticed guys moving down, you know, inside, Sean Smith moving and giving Ron Edwards some time as he's been able to play at the nose. How much is getting another quality body in there to keep the guys fresh, along with Wallace Gilbert? I don't mean to leave Wallace out, but to keep all those guys on that front three fresh, how much is that improved overall, just having that quality depth now as a defensive line?
I mean, it's a great thing to have, because like you said, you can always rotate, you can always have fresh bodies in there, you know, if it's a long drive or something, or we switch personnel, it's a good thing to get fresh bodies in there, fresh legs, you know, they can keep going.
We're talking with Jovan Belcher, Chiefs linebacker here in the red zone. You feel like the pass rush has really come together here over the last four or five games as well, that you guys are able to get as a unit, as a whole defensive unit. I'm not just putting it on the front three or the front seven, but that pass rush-wise, you guys have really hit your stride and are able to pressure the quarterback better than certainly last year and the first half of this year?
Yes. I say we got some guys that love the rush, you know. They love to pin their ears back and go, you know, so that's really improved for us.
How about Wallace Gilberry's presence up there? A guy that, as I look at it, they list him in the 280s. I don't see how he weighs anywhere near that, but what do you see that's made him such an effective part of your pass rush this year?
Wallace studies a lot of film, you know, as well as every D-lineman we have, they study film. We all get together in meetings, you know, and just talk about certain things. Just to work, that'll work, you know. Let's do this if we see this. So, I mean, as a whole, I think everyone's pass rush has gotten better. We're doing a better job working together and just communicating with each other.
Why did it seem that it got a little chippy out there with the Titans? Was there anything different about this game as to why it seemed to be a little personal between the Chiefs and Titans on Sunday?
I mean, you got two teams that love to play physical, you know. So when one team smacks another team in the mouth, you should expect something back, you know. So it's not like it wasn't one of those games where I guess you're just going to – either team just going to pick on the team or anything. It's a rough sport, you know. Just leave it at that.
The Raiders are up next. There's a lot of people that say, hey, this game doesn't matter. You guys have already clinched the AFC West championship. You're going to be at home. It's just a matter of whether you're the 3 seed or the 4 seed in your mind. And for this team, how much does this game against the Raiders mean?
I mean, for us, it's kind of personal for us. We're not looking on to the playoffs yet. We still got one more game, and we want to finish our season out strong. So, just like I said, this game is personal for us.
Do you have a preference, as to being the 3 or the 4 seed? Does that matter or no? Is it just about getting – because it could factor in, you know, you win in playoff games, it could factor in to getting your home field. I mean, is that something that you talk about in meetings amongst the guys, the fact that winning this game – not only would be revenge for the loss in Oakland and would be another win against a divisional opponent, but it also could factor into whether or not you get another home playoff game down the road. Does that conversation come up at all?
To tell you the truth, we'll probably be talking about that next week. But right now, all our focus is on the Oakland Raiders, you know.
Yeah. Is there a grudge there with the Raiders because of, I mean, obviously more than just, certainly you want to avenge losing the game out in Oakland, but is there more of a grudge there because it is the Raiders? Is that rivalry starting to get back to where it once was here in town?
I'd say, yeah, I believe it is. It's getting there. And it's like I said earlier, it's our last game. We really want to finish strong. That was one of our goals, to finish 3-1 in the fourth quarter. So that's something that we want to do.
Are you aware of what all the playoff seedings are, where you are, where the other teams are? I know you said you're focusing on the Raiders, but it's out there everywhere. If you turn on ESPN, you can't miss it. Are you aware of what the seedings are?
No, I haven't looked, and I'm probably not going to, because I don't want to fall into the trap. like I said, we got the Raiders next week, and that's what we're focusing on.
Is it tough to stay focused on it? I mean, tougher now that you know that there's a bigger game, the biggest game you've ever played in your professional career. Does it make it tougher to focus on the Raiders? Or I don't know, maybe does it make it easier?
I know every week we come out, we got a new opponent in front of us, you know. We got the Raiders this week, so that's where our focus is.
What went wrong last time out in Oakland?
I tipped my hat to the Raiders. They finished the game. We had a couple mistakes on defense, you know, that we had to fix, and it was a must fix. So we lost. I just leave it at that. We lost, and, you know, we're looking for a game.
Has that been the toughest loss? We talked in the Red Zone and throughout the year that if you did not end up winning the AFC West, that would be the game. If it came down to just one game, that Raider game would be the game that you really would kick yourselves over, because more than any other game, that was the one that seemed like there was plenty of opportunities. You know, we counted up six different plays that if any one of those six is made, you know, the game goes the other way and the Chiefs win. And I know there's always, you know, a handful of plays that will decide a game each and every week, but that one more so than any other seemed like there were just a number of plays that if anybody comes through on it, you guys come away the winners. That, to me, was the game that if it didn't work out, you were going to point back and really kick yourself for. Is that the game, as you look back, that was the toughest loss to swallow?
I mean, to me personally, and I say to the team and the coaches, we hate losing every game. It's not just one game. If you lose a game, you're mad. You got to get on to next week. So I wouldn't say just that game. It's every game. And I'm sure every team in the league feels like that. You hate losing every week, you know.
We're talking to Jovan Belcher, Chiefs linebacker here in the Red Zone. Jovan, before I let you go, final four quickies. You've been through it before. We'll start with this. Where were you when you learned you were AFC West champions? It did not happen with the game on the field. It didn't happen until the Chargers had lost. Where were you when you found out that you guys had clinched it?
I was actually eating at a restaurant.
Eating dinner? Did you have the game on? Did you see it, or did somebody come tell you?
No, somebody came and told me. I was spending time with my family.
All right. What do you know of Marty Schottenheimer? He's going to be honored this Sunday at Arrowhead. What do you know of Marty Schottenheimer's time in Kansas City?
Not too much, but I got to do my research now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's been 12 years since he was here, so you know, you were back in Long Island, I think, just 12 years ago. You would have been maybe playing kickball, something along those lines. Yeah, I won't hold it against you. All right, what about a preference on a first-round opponent? You care who it is?
We'll focus on the Raiders, man.
Yeah, okay, good answer. And finally, New Year's Eve is coming up. I know we've talked to you in the past that you've done the Times Square thing on New Year's Eve. What do you got planned for this year's New Year's Eve?
Probably spend time with my family, spend time in church, you know, really just be around the loved ones, you know.
Yeah, that's probably a good plan, especially when you got a lot of work still to do this year. Well, Jovan, congrats on clinching that AFC West. Best of luck with the Raiders, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again here real soon.
Hey, thank you.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game.
And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of kcchiefs.com.
And I am the internet. great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back here in the Red Zone, KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you, reminding you, tickets, buy the tickets. Let's go. We need a packed Arrowhead. We've talked about how big a difference the home crowd makes. Two touchdowns better on defense, 4 points better on offense, 18 points better overall at home than they are on the road, and that's because of the great Arrowhead crowd. Click on the icon that says tickets, and you're off and running towards buying tickets to both the Raiders game and playoff game, whatever it will be, whoever it will be. And I think this is a big game against the Raiders. Wouldn't sacrifice the health of anybody knowing that you've got the playoffs in the bag. But three's important. This football team should feel like it's going to win its home playoff game and can win a playoff game on the road. If that happens, as I said, a couple of years ago, we had Arizona playing host to the NFC Championship game in a very similar situation. Any of the wild cards come through, you get to host it regardless of your record. Even if the wild cards have a better record, you still play host because you're a division winner to that AFC Championship game. Hey, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, I'm just happy with the playoffs, or I'll be happy with one win. You got to think like a champion, and champions go out and win their final game to make sure that they've got home field in any possible scenario that they can create. Chiefs can't control where they'd go in the second round, but they've got a chance to control where they go in a third round playoff game. So I think it is important to get this win against the Raiders. We'll see what they do. Priority one on defense, stop via running game, stop Darren McFadden in the backfield of the Oakland Raiders. And on offense, I think play this game from in front. Get the running game going. The Chiefs are an outstanding football team when they're running. Even if they're not, they weren't having great success running the football last week against the Titans, but Matt Cassel just getting better and better and better as a quarterback all the time. But certainly you want to get that running game going against the Oakland Raiders. Get that game in the books. Hopefully just pound them in the first half. Be able to start sitting guys down. Get the win under your belt. And start looking ahead to who your matchup's going to be. Are you going to play Saturday or Sunday? Are you going to play the Jets? Are you going to play the Steelers? Are you going to play the Ravens? Who's your opposition going to be? It's going to be a great night regardless after the Raider game, as the Chiefs will look ahead to their first playoff game in Arrowhead Stadium since the end of the 2003 season, January of 2004. I want to tell everybody to have a very safe and happy New Year's Eve. Remember, be safe out there. We want everybody ready to go and watch the Chiefs on Sunday and in the playoffs. So make sure you have a safe and happy New Year's Eve. I want to thank everybody who helped us today on the Red Zone. Adam Pellegrino, Brad Young, Brad Kubander, and Curtis Siebold. For all the guys, this is Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.